So, first and foremost, what is your position on gun control and the Second Amendment?
Well, Congresswoman Jackson Lee, I am her Judiciary Legislative Counsel, and she is for gun violence prevention. So her position is trying to make sure that communities and vulnerable populations, such as children, the mentally infirmed, communities at large, are protected within every individual's access to their Second Amendment rights.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then obviously I already know that you do, but do you have experience in legislation related to gun control, and could you speak a little bit about that?
Sure. Are you talking about the congressman's legislation?
Yeah, yes, yeah, sorry. Well, these questions are kind of broad because I'm asking the same ones to everyone, but yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there are four bills that the congresswoman has specifically targeted towards gun violence prevention. And two of them have been introduced this Congress already, and two of them she plans to reintroduce from previous Congresses. So the two that have been currently introduced are H.R. 57, the Accidental Firearms Transfers Reporting Act of 2017, and that is a bill to require the Federal Bureau of Investigations, the FBI, to submit a biannual report to Congress on the number of proposed firearms transfers where a licensed gun dealer submitted a background check through the National Instant Criminal History Background Check System, NCIS, and two, NCIS failed to respond to the gun dealer within three business days, and three, the licensed gun dealer completed the transfer anyway. So it's just making sure that despite not having a background check completed, that the gun dealer is unable to complete that transfer in the future.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
That's the first piece of legislation. The second one is H.R. 62, which is Gun Violence Reduction Resources Act of 2017. And that's a bill to authorize the Department of Justice to hire 200 additional agents and investigators for the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, which is ATF, which is under the Department of Justice. So we're trying to make sure that DOJ and ATF have the appropriate resources needed, including an increase in the agents that actually go out and monitor the Federal Registry and monitor gun violence through firearm action in this country.
Okay, great. Thank you. Oh, sorry.
Did you want me to cover the other two?
Yeah, sure. That would be great. I didn't know how many you wanted to.
And then the two that she has yet to reintroduce but have been introduced in previous Congresses. So during the 115th Congress, during the 114th, this bill was H.R. 47, and that's Gun Storage and Safety Devices for All Firearms Act, and that's a bill directing the Attorney General to enforce that any firearm transferred to a person who is not a licensed importer, licensed manufacturer, or licensed dealer must provide a secure gun storage and safety device. So we're just making sure that if a gun is transferred through a non-registered dealer, it's still transferred in a storage safety device that we can ensure, for example, non-registered occupants in a home, children, the mentally infirmed, other people who'd be living in the home that don't actually own the gun are not able to access it. Like, you know, if somebody hides the gun under a bed or in a closet, it would, you know, be in a lockbox when it's transferred and sold. And then the last piece of legislation that is specifically targeted towards gun violence prevention during the 114th Congress was H.R. 4315, and that's the Mental Health Access and Gun Violence Prevention Act. And that was a bill to authorize in fiscal year 2017 appropriations for the Department of Justice, the Department of Health and Human Services, and the Social Security Administration to increase access to mental health care treatment and services, and to promote reporting of mental health information to the National Instant Criminal Background Check System, NCIS. So that's just making sure that the agencies have the funding that they need, and anybody who has been identified as being mentally infirmed through any of our federal government agencies are able to share that information via cross-system data checks with NCIS so that when they possibly apply through any sort of background check or other registry to purchase a firearm, they are flagged as somebody who has been, in another instance, possibly mentally adjudicated mentally incapable of handling their own affairs, so they would not be a person that should, you know, have access to a firearm through the registry.
Okay. And so this kind of goes off of what you were just talking about flagging people who are mentally infirmed, but what is Congresswoman Jackson Lee's position on a plan to ban people on the terrorist watch list from purchasing guns?
Oh, she's she agrees with the no fly, no buy
mm-hmm.
practice. So, you know, if you've been added to the terrorist watch list, then so if you can't buy on a plane, you should not be able to legally purchase a gun at the end.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So this question might be a little bit tricky just because you're speaking somewhat on behalf of someone else, but what is your interpretation of the Second Amendment?
That the Second Amendment allows for individuals to have access to keep and bear arms, and that should not be infringed upon,
mm-hmm.
but that is also a very contextually
mm-hmm.
Sensitive amendment that, you know, if you look at the legislative history and the intent when it was initially enacted by Congress, that it is specifically related to a people's response to militia,
mm-hmm.
and that today in our military practices, we do not have the same threats
mm-hmm.
Militia that would require individual persons to have the same responsive needs.
Yeah.
So while there is a Second Amendment protection for each individual to keep and bear arms, and it should not be infringed upon, just like any other liberty that we enjoy within our democracy, regulation is appropriate, comparable to driver's licenses.
Mm-hmm.
They don't allow people to, in our state and nationally, it's accepted that we do not allow individuals to operate motor vehicles without having gone through extensive training,
uh-huh.
You know, a particular certification and licensure requirement. And then, you know, there's also, in particular, cases where it's best for the public health and safety,
mm-hmm.
those licenses can be revoked, you know, in instances where individuals have difficulty with vision or mental health impairments or, you know, have misused their license and gone beyond the scope of
mm-hmm.
what was intended for public health and safety by possibly driving, you know, intoxicated or under the influence. So, you know, those regulations are there to protect populations that are vulnerable and, like I said, ensure public health and safety. So gun regulation, while it is protected under the Second Amendment, is something that would come only second to the constitutional guarantees of each individual to, you know, pursue
mm-hmm.
life, liberty, and pursue happiness so
mm-hmm.
that they can be in a safe environment.
Mm-hmm.
And in situations where the government does need to regulate on behalf of public health and safety, we would concede those regulations as most appropriate in connection with the Second Amendment.
Okay, yeah, that's great. So what is your opinion of the NRA?
The lobbying group?
Yep, mm-hmm.
Don't really have a specific opinion on the NRA. We understand that they're a very powerful lobbying group, that they are behind some legislation that we are not able to see eye to eye on.
Mm-hmm.
For example, H.R. 38, the federally mandated concealed carry, and H.R. 367, Senate Companion S-59, the Hearing Protection Act concerning silencers. So we would have differing opinions as to the necessity for the regulation, or I guess for their legislation in attempts to curtail regulation.
Mm-hmm.
We see the situation from, like I said, a public health and safety concern point, and that's the populations that we would be advocating on behalf of.
Mm-hmm. So America has a very high murder and mass shooting rate as opposed to many other countries where guns are banned. How do you respond to that fact?
I'm sorry, say that one more time?
Yep. America has a very high murder and mass shooting rate as opposed to many other countries where guns are banned. How do you respond to that?
Oh, I inferring that the question is making a connection of a causation or a correlation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure which. Are you making a causation or correlation?
A causation more, I would say.
Okay. All right. So you're saying that because other countries have banned guns, their murder rate is not as high?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, there's a distinction between violent crime in this country and mass shootings.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been correlations made to the Second Amendment and individuals' rights to keep and bear arms. In general, we see violent crime being more so connected to the difficulties in regulating gun trafficking in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And while there is connection to private citizens owning guns, we see that more so connected to like high rates of suicide or individuals' choice to use firearms in isolated instances. So
mm-hmm.
Back to paramount public health and safety concerns. We do think that appropriate regulation will help prevent some of the gun violence that we've seen recently in this country, and that's going to always be the ultimate priority. And understanding that when you live in, like I said, a free society and democracy, those liberties are obtained by each individual
mm-hmm.
with the understanding of us all abiding by social contract, and that social contract
mm-hmm.
it's paramount, the need for public health and safety, in which
mm-hmm.
some cases means that regulation can be appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what, if any, uses of guns do you see as reasonable in the United States?
Well, it's kind of an expansive question. I'd say that gun usage is... I don't know what in situation it would be reasonable. I'd say that we're not trying to over-regulate, so that we're not against the Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
We're very much for any sort of constitutional provision that has been guaranteed to the individual citizens of the United States,
mm-hmm.
or that because the public health and safety is held paramount. So we look at situations where one individual's right begins to infringe upon safety at large, or another individual's right who might be a member of a vulnerable population,
mm-hmm.
i.e., akin to a protected class. So it's more so a constitutional analysis
mm-hmm.
as to not really looking at what gun activity is appropriate, but looking at what gun activity is inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really, really trying to curtail gun trafficking, illegal gun trafficking that may lead to violent crime increases, and then you know, we're in opposition to the two pieces of legislation that are coming down the pike in Congress very soon, which would be the inclusion of silencers on the exclusion of silencers on the federal registration. Right now, they're on the federal registration, and we believe they should remain on the federal registration.
Mm-hmm.
That you know, guns should not be able to be sold or traded without having to be registered to individuals, and then concealed carry Reciprocity Act. We think that states should be able to enjoy their sovereignty, and that there should not be a honoring of licensing in one state when you go to a second state in the event that that first state does not have as stringent or strict requirements as another state might have to protect their individual citizens.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in opposition to concealed carry reciprocity and removing silencers from the federal registry, and more so in favor of any sort of gun violence prevention
mm-hmm.
legislation that's going to curtail gun trafficking, decrease violent crime,
mm-hmm.
decrease ability for inappropriate people, people who have been deemed adjudicated, like I said, mentally infirmed or unable to care for themselves, to be able to acquire firearms, so that we can prevent situations like Sandy Hook and Newtown and the Miami shooting,
mm-hmm.
so that people are not in situations where guns end lives and they needlessly do so.
Okay. And my final question is, why do you think that it is so difficult to compromise on this issue?
Well, I think any issue concerning vulnerable populations is going to be controversial. We have a history of fighting for civil rights legislation and trying to women's rights legislation, trying to make sure that a minority group is truly protected. Mm-hmm. And right now, the people who are speaking out against regulation have been able to kind of form coalitions of minority groups to be able to combine together to be a majority. But right now, the minority group is actually the group that's promoting deregulation, but they're in the majority in Congress. So we have the inability to see eye to eye because we've got disparate interests. Mm-hmm. The minority group right now is saying that regulation is excessive and that we really have to rely on the constitutional provision of the Second Amendment as our founding fathers intended. But the minority group, or the group of coalitions that has become the overwhelming number is in the American population, is saying that that was a contextual law, and it applied during a time when individual protection from militia was necessary. Our military does not operate in that fashion anymore, and as we see, individuals are misusing or using the Second Amendment protection in ways that our founding fathers did not intend when they are not wanting to register accessories that they purchased for firearms, or they're trying to evade registration requirements by forum shopping, going state to state to try to have different states lose sovereignty as to what they feel is best for their individual citizens, requiring background checks and more stringent gun regulations. So you've got families, you've got vulnerable populations who have, suffered these hardships, who are not really looking at an individual's personal rights. They're looking at the collective good. And mm-hmm. anytime that you have an argument between individual rights versus collective good, it's going to be a balancing act. Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult to reach agreement when you have disparate interests.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for your time. I know that you're so busy, and I really, really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me about this.
Sure. Go ahead, and if you could, I don't know if you are planning to, is this just for like a high school, like final exam paper, or?
No, it's not for a class. It's, I applied to receive a grant to do research, so I'm writing this on my own.
Are you planning on publishing your findings?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Would you mind sharing those with me when you do get to that point? I'd like to see what you're able to compile.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Please keep in contact.
Thank you so much.
Good
Have
luck.
A great day. Bye-bye.